From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books of the New Testament. The focus in this message is the Gospel of Luke, the theme of which may be stated as What Christ Feels. Luke's record of Christ's parables portrays the Savior as seeking and saving real sinners, those who recognize their need. It also reveals the self-righteous attitudes of those who denied their sinfulness and so forfeited salvation. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message, but before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection known as Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Whose Battle? The text is 1 Samuel 17 and verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. Let this point be settled, that the battle is the Lord's, and we may be quite sure of the victory, and of the victory in such a way as will best of all display the power of God. The Lord is too much forgotten by all men, yea, even by the assemblies of Israel. And when there is an opportunity to make men see that the great first cause can achieve his purposes without the power of man, it is a priceless occasion which should be well employed. Even Israel looks too much to sword and spear. It is a grand thing to have no sword in the hand of David, and yet for David to know that his God will overthrow a whole army of aliens. If we are indeed contending for truth and righteousness, let us not tarry till we have talent or wealth or any other form of visible power at our disposal, but with such stones as we find in the brook, and with our own usual sling, let us run to meet the enemy. If it were our own battle, we might not be confident. But if we are standing up for Jesus and warring in His strength alone, who can withstand us? Without a trace of hesitancy, let us face the Philistines. For the Lord of hosts is with us, and who can be against us?
Have you not known, have you not heard, God's glory remains on high, established by His mighty hand before the earth and sky. Thank you.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Man, if you've come into this meeting with a heart that's filthy, with a mind that's unclean, with a life that's broken, the devil's in control. You're an outcast from decency. You find that there is no hope within yourself. You've tried everything, but it's failed. Well, the message is, Jesus Christ receiveth sinners. The Pharisees didn't like it. The Pharisees still don't like it. But it's still true. He receiveth sinners. Those are the people that he saved. You add to those people the parables that he told. I've mentioned the Good Samaritan. There was a man on the road down to Jericho. He was overtaken by thieves. He was left for dead. He had lost everything. Then this stranger comes by. His own religious leaders have abandoned him. But the stranger comes by, picks him up, and makes sure that he's healed and all expenses paid. Man, I want to tell you that, in a nutshell, is the gospel. For people cast down, kicked about, robbed, beaten, left for dead, on the verge of destruction, here is the gospel. It's not a Samaritan who has come. It's the Son of God who has come. He has paid the price. And he has put out the effort. And he has done the work. Then in chapter 14, there's the parable of the marriage supper. You remember that the message was to go out into the highways and into the byways. And to get all sorts of people to come in. Verse 13, the Lord says, when you make a feast, call the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And he says, in effect, that's what the Lord himself does. He says, go out into the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Verse 23. And there's another one. Who doesn't know Luke chapter 15? You've got three lost things. Actually, two of them are peculiar to Luke. There's the lost sheep. Now, that's spoken of in other places. But there's the lost coin. And then there's the lost son. Luke brings them all together here. Here are three parables of Christ. And why does he tell them? He tells them because he's giving an answer to the Pharisees' complaint. This man receiveth sinners. The Lord Jesus defends himself. Does he deny it? No, no. He says, yes, I do receive sinners. I not only receive sinners, I look for sinners. I'm not just waiting to receive them. I'm going out after them. I'm not sitting here until they come. I'm going out to bring them. That's what he's saying. He went out after the lost sheep. He went and he searched for the lost coin. And he went after the lost son. Then in chapter 18, there's another parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The publican, again, you're dealing with, don't forget, a man like Zacchaeus. The publican came under conviction of sin, went up to the temple to pray, while the Pharisee stood boastfully before God. Any man that can boast of what he is and what he does before God, the man is a fool and a sinner. While the Pharisee so boasted, the publican stood afar off, wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, smote upon his breast, and he cried in the greatest prayer a sinner can pray, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Literally, God be propitious to me, a sinner. God be merciful to me on the merit of the blood of the Lamb. And he went down to his house justified. Here are the people whom Jesus Christ saved. But you know, equally significant in Luke's gospel are the people that Jesus didn't save. He didn't save the Pharisees. In chapter 5, verse 21, it's interesting in this gospel how at times the Pharisees asked Christ to their homes. But in chapter 5 and verse 21, the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins? But God only." Now remember, at the end of verse 17, it says the power of the Lord was present to heal. They were sitting in the midst of a revival. They were sitting in the very presence of the Son of God. The power of God was present to heal. God was doing miracles. And all they could do was criticize the Son of God. In chapter 7, we've already referred to Simon the Pharisee. He saw Christ transform the life of a fallen woman. Did it touch his heart? No, all he could do was criticize. Then in chapter 11, and in verse 37, you have these same Pharisees. He spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And as you go on, the Pharisee began to quibble and to find fault because he had not first washed his hands before dinner. Chapter 14 and verse 1. As he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread, they watched him. Now he healed a man who had dropsy. What were they doing? They were finding fault. He did it on the Sabbath day. I mean, the greatest bunch of hypocrites. You just imagine this. Maybe 1,000 times on the Sabbath day, a Pharisee would have put out his hand. He'd have lifted this, he'd have moved that. Now, he didn't go to work, but he moved his muscles. When the Lord Jesus met a paralyzed man, and he told him, "Move your muscles," it suddenly became a sin for that man to move his muscles, even though the old hypocritical Pharisee had sinlessly been doing the very same thing all day. And they began to criticize the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiving that man, as the Creator had the right and the power to do, giving that man the ability to move his muscles. Let him lie there. Oh, we'll walk home and eat our dinner. Let him lie there. Great bunch of hypocrites. Enough religion to damn a nation. And they damned themselves. Jesus Christ did not save them. We have read of those in chapter 15 and verse 2. They scoffed at Christ. Man, you can just see them looking down their long noses at Christ. He receives sinners. What they're saying is, we don't receive sinners. We wouldn't eat with sinners. But he would eat with sinners. Well, these Pharisees didn't get saved. You know, you can be so religious that you're sure of hell. You can be so religious that God will have nothing to do with you. You can be so religious that you've shut yourself off from the mercy of God. The Pharisees' religion is a religion of hell. And Pharisees, unless they're converted, will never be saved. Then there are other people he didn't see. Triflers with religion. Chapter 20. Now this comes very close to home. Chapter 20. And in verse 20, we read that they watched him and sent forth spies which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. They asked him, saying, "Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly," and so on. "Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar?" Now watch it very carefully. What were these people doing? They were doing what an awful lot of people in America are still doing. They have a question about the Bible. They have a question about God. They have a question about salvation. But they're trifling. They're not asking questions to find the truth. They're asking questions to try, A, to contradict the Bible, or B, to trip up some child of God. I want to tell you, it's one of the most dangerous things that you can be engaged in, is to start trying to pick holes in God's Word. Or worse, to try to use God's Word against God's truth. Or to try to use God's Word to hinder God's people. If you trifle with the things of God, then you will not be saved. Then there are other people in this book that he didn't save. And they're the lovers of wealth and the lovers of the world. In chapter 12, we read of a rich fool. He lived for what he had. I'll say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat and drink. Take your ease. Jesus said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? He didn't see of the rich fool. Then we read in chapter 16 of the rich man. Lazarus lay at his gate. The rich man fared sumptuously every day, surrounded by every comfort of earth. He didn't perish because he was rich. He perished because he made his gold his God. The difference between the rich man and the saint is the rich man, and I think it was Thomas Brooks possibly put it this way, certainly one of those old Puritans, sounds to me like Brooks, but anyway, he said that the rich man makes gold his God. The gracious man, the saved man, makes God his gold. Therein is the difference. This rich man didn't get saved. The poor beggar got to heaven. Not because he was poor, but by grace. The rich man didn't. Then in chapter 18, we have perhaps the saddest of them all. We have the rich young ruler. Upright, moral, decent, clean living. He'd be an answer to every mother's prayer. But the Lord Jesus didn't save him. Why? One thing thou lackest. Get rid of your God of gold. No, Lord. Anything but that. I'll keep the commandments. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. But don't touch my God of gold. Jesus didn't save him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.